Secret handshake. Check your cloaks and remove your tinfoil hats. This is the Illuminati Social Club, the podcast they don't want you to know about.
This is bullshit.
This series presents information based in part on theory and conjecture. The producer's purpose is to suggest some possible explanation, but not necessarily the only ones to the mysteries we will examine.
Welcome to the Illuminati Social Club's In Search Of series here, Season 2, Episode 4. I'm your host, Jason, from Parma, Ohio. Joining me, as he always does, from Tampa, Florida, Mr. Oliver Oxide.
Hello, all. How are you?
Excellent. How about yourself?
Super, thanks.
Excellent. And from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Dr. Steve Cloutier.
How you doing?
Good. So, yeah, we're talking Mayan mysteries today. Of course, I don't know how mysterious it is. Let's see. It starts off in the most peculiar way.
Thank you.
The Mayans have lower heartbeats, better teeth, and their skull cavities are different. Huh? What? Okay. What does this have to do with anything? And what's funny is they don't go anywhere with it. So anyway, Oliver, what are your thoughts?
Well, that was my immediate thought. I thought, oh, we're in trouble now. because is there supposition the fact that Mesoamericans have all of these things today? Because this fact is never mentioned again in the whole episode.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, let's just put a pin in that one because I'm sure we'll get back to it. You see, these are the episodes, Jason, which I kind of look forward to because I think I'm going to learn something. You know, because I don't really know a lot about Mayans. So I was kind of thinking, okay, this may be interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my hopes were up for about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Until the off-brand Carlos Santana showed up. and boy, do we get in trouble after that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Which I will not do. I will not ruin at this particular point. To me, this episode was what In Search Of sometimes does, is that they make a mystery out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they decide to pick a subject and then go all complete woo to actually make a mystery out of something that we already know.
And, oh, it go. Yeah, so we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Steve, what were your thoughts?
Well, one of my first questions was, they were talking about, you know, they're showing these people who are descendants of Mayans. Mm-hmm. And then they talked about how Mayans disappeared. And I thought, how can a culture that has descendants still living have disappeared? It didn't disappear if there are descendants. So that was my first thought.
Well, this is the other thing, Steve, is that, you know, we're going to talk about the Spanish arriving. Well, didn't the Mayan culture just intermarry with the Spanish culture at some point?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, of course there's this, again, a mystery out of nothing.
Exactly. So, right off the bat, right after we get through the title sequence, we get this line. The biblical story of Genesis and the theory of evolution agree. No.
No, they don't.
and I'm going to, because he starts off by saying, you know, talking about how, you know, the light came out of darkness. Well, no, the theory of evolution has nothing to do with the Big Bang or the formation of the universe, the solar system, or our planet. And it doesn't have anything to do with the formation of life. It has to do with the diversity of life. That's it. Cut it out. Oh, this is why people think there's a debate.
Well, this is, I think, goes back to some of the things that we've been talking about throughout the series, is this sort of weird thing that was going on in the 70s,
where they
tried to take science and Eastern mysticism and kind of combine them right into this sort of weird kind of mystic science hybrid, which ultimately misrepresents both Eastern mysticism and science as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Mayans, formed in a much different way from, they didn't form in any different way than any other society. They looked at the stars. Most civilizations did. The Egyptians did. The Aztecs, the Incas, the Mayans, everyone looked at the stars because that's how you determined, when to plant, when to go out on the hunt. You know, you kept time by looking at the stars.
And there was nothing else to do.
No.
I mean, that's the other thing.
And yes, people, they calculated the where the stars, how the sun and the moon and the stars moved because, well, that's what they did. That was their job.
This is the part of the episode that really bothered me, was the fact that I think that they made two very large factual errors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give them a pass on one because I don't think that they actually knew that. They kept on saying that the Mayans were the first civilization in human history.
Might be top five.
Yeah, we know that not to be true because we know now, I guess through DNA analysis, that really the first civilization was somewhere around what's present day Zimbabwe, that area, that particular area, Tanzania. So that one I'm going to give them the pass. But then they kept on going on about that they invented zero. Now, my understanding is the Persians invented zero, the concept of zero. Yeah. And then the Romans got a hold of it, and this is why there's no zero in Roman numerals, is because they weren't enthralled with the idea of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a religious argument.
Right.
But I didn't know the Mayans invented zero. That was new to me.
No, this came out. No, zero, as far as I know, I have watched documentaries on this. Zero came out of the Persian Empire.
Yeah, because no math works without zero. It's the most important number there is, because no math works without it.
Yeah.
And by the way, no, the Mayans did not anticipate our decimal system.
No.
The decimal system was kind of born with us. That's not a woo statement either. All you have to do is look at your hands. Why do we count to 10? Why do we have a base 10 system? Because we have 10 fingers. This is how we count. Early on, and this is factual.
Mm-hmm.
We count based on a base 10 system because we have 10 fingers.
Yes.
Although if you look at the dozenal system, which is the base 12 system, it's a hell of a lot easier to calculate stuff. But, I don't think we're ever going there. But, they did not invent the decimal system. We kind of came up with it. And then they start going into like the paintings and stuff. So the Mayans kept records of day-to-day life and, major events. Okay. So did the Egyptians. So did the Aztecs, the Incas. So did every society.
You're right, Jason. That kind of seemed like filler to me.
Yeah.
Because didn't we have an episode in season one about the Mayan temples or something? And it seemed like they probably used the same footage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they were also trying to build this argument that in all the images The one common denominator is this sort of astronomy figure, right? Mm-hmm. The astronomer. And I think one of the things that they were trying to do was kind of build this idea that this was a society built around astronomy, a society built around the astronomer. And the astronomer becomes kind of like the priest-like figure of the society.
So, and then we're introduced to Kukul Khan, or however you pronounce his name. And apparently he was a white guy. He was a god figure that, I don't know, supposedly taught them about astronomy and the stars. Because of course, the Mayans couldn't have figured that out on their own. They needed a white guy to do it.
Of course.
we're gonna hear that again later, but yeah, where did they go with the Kukul Khan story? I don't even know. They kind of introduced him. They said stuff, and that was about it.
Apparently, he taught them engineering.
Oh, okay.
Because
they of course couldn't figure that out for themselves either.
No, of course not. I wonder if that was a night class. I don't know. It's. You know, stranger from a strange land, where mm-hmm. we heard that before. Every religion uh-huh. known to mankind, every fable known to mankind. It's remarkable when we watch these shows, you realize that no matter where they were in the world, all humans thought the same way.
Oh, yeah.
I find that fascinating. Yeah.
You know, not to veer off course here, but we have, we have flood myths from all over the world.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not
yeah.
because it's not because there was one global flood, as some religions would have you believe.
Page and Kent Ham, yes.
But most societies grew up on rivers or lakes or, you know, other bodies of water. And, you know, of course, your biggest fear when you're an agricultural society living on a body of water is you really don't want that body of water to flood. So you want to appease the gods at this point. Well, guess what? Eventually your body of water is going to flood. And it's going to be a story because, you know, you must have upset the gods.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we get to this garage band that looks like it's headed up by Little Richard. There's also the thumbnail image on the video, at least here in the U.S. But yeah, they perform music too, I guess, and they played sports, where apparently they played this weird game that they tried to kick a leather. Well, they said rubber ball, but. Newer documentaries on them. It was it's a leather ball, like a leather covered ball. And they tried, they would use their legs and arms, not their feet and hands, to knock the ball through a circle. And apparently if you lost, you were put to death. It's like, wow. That sounds just slightly better than the NFL. wow.
Yeah, again, another error. I mean, where the last time I looked up rubber trees, they were 6,000 miles away in Indonesia. Where would people who live in Mexico get rubber from?
Yeah, I know. Well, it turned out it was a leather ball. So
yeah,
it was like probably like a hide. Probably a ball of hide with a hide covering.
Sure, like over it, every so. like everybody.
Like a baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like every other sport that was developed in North America or Europe had hide. They didn't have rubber because it wasn't there.
Ah, and then the Spanish conquistadors came. And yeah, then they thought pretty much they believe that the Mayans were devil worshippers because, oh yeah, the Mayans also worshiped the snake. The serpent was a symbol of their society. And of course the conquistadors being Christian. It kind of had something against snakes. You know, it could be like that whole Genesis story. So they automatically assumed that the Mayans were devil worshippers. Anything at all? Steve?
Well, you know, it kind of makes sense. I mean, yeah. In many ways, I think one of the things that they kind of, what Leonard Nimoy said was kind of true, in the sense that it wasn't the conquistadors that sort of established the Spanish dominance in the New World. It was all the people that came after, the priests in particular, who came in and sort of, you know, what we would think of as colonized, because the conquistadors were just sort of moving through looking for gold and things like that. It was the settlers that came afterwards, you know, and the priests who sort of, you know, ultimately, I think, conquered the New World by establishing, and I'm going to use a fancy word here, establishing European hegemony over the New World, and maintaining the control that European descended people still have today.
Mm-hmm. So now we get into what happened to the Mayans. How did they become extinct? Well, they could have been wiped out by malaria or yellow fever. Although Leonard Nimoy says that, you know, they had no record of these diseases. Well, if it's killing you, you're not going to write it down. And honestly, yeah, it could have been brought by the Spanish conquistadors. Especially if they were in a tropical, they were in a tropical location. Wait a second. You know, Peru is kind of tropical. You would have, you would have mosquitoes spreading malaria, would you not?
And there was also a flaw in their logic, in the sense that they said that we have no records.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the episode, they said that the Spanish priests burned all the records.
Uh-huh.
Well, that would explain why we don't have any of the records. Because they burned them all.
So then our low-rank Carlos Santana, thank you, Oliver, for the title.
Love this guy. Love him.
So Leonard Nimoy, you know, says, you know, they, you know, is it possible that they were wiped out by malaria or yellow fever? Well, those are easy answers, but, you know, this guy doesn't like the easy answers. But the easy answers are usually your correct answers.
That's because he has a whole completely different set of answers.
Oh, yes.
This is where the episode just goes bonkers to me.
Oliver, why don't you take this one?
This guy. Oh, my God. And I swear, he is a dead ringer for Carlos Santana. I was about to, yeah, I was wondering when he was going to drop the word Abraxas into a conversation. He gets super kooky. He goes from zero to kooky very quickly. And it all amalgamates in the fact that the Mayans left, traveled across the Atlantic, and landed in the Middle East. And that Jesus, while on the theoretical cross, started not speaking Aramaic, which was the native tongue of the time, but started speaking Mayan. I love this guy.
Yeah. Also, he said that the Mayans used psychic energy.
Oh,
yeah. So they knew because the other question was, could they have been wiped out by an earthquake? Well, no, because they had psychic energy and they could predict earthquakes. And they also knew, you know, they could also predict the climate, and, you know, they would know if the crops were going to fail.
He was super bonkers.
This is better than, you know, to say that they're using psychic energy is better than to just say, they had a little misfortune when it came to the weather.
Yeah. And plus, the other thing is that, you know, why does a civilization have to, quote-unquote, die out? You know, probably what they did was the same thing that every other civilization in history did, is that they ended up having to intermingle, intermarry, and that's just where the civilization went. It became the proverbial melting pot.
Yeah.
Right? Why does these people love having these standalone societies that kind of rise and fall by some, you know, bizarre invented tragedy or a question mark, instead of just going the easy route when you find two civilizations that intermingle, they stay intermingled.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of how it works.
When mommy and daddy love each other very... Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, apparently we have a date in this episode. But
did you catch that? Yeah.
Yep. It's not the date everyone would think. Apparently the Mayan men of knowledge predicted December 24th, 2011, there would be a great earthquake in a world government. Okay. Of course this is the actual end of the world happened on December 21st, 2012. They predicted a one world government and an earthquake.
Yeah. Now, see, I thought this would have piqued Steve's interest in the fact that Carlos there was all about the socialism and the communism. I was waiting for his version of the Internationale at that point, Steve.
Again, it's the 70s. It's that kind of weird combination of this sort of agrarian peasant society and communism, we see it earlier, obviously, but in China, this idea that, you know, it is the peasants that are truly the communistic society and the socialistic society. Marx himself said that it had to be the industrial proletariat, right? Mm-hmm. Marx said that the revolution to work had to happen in a place like England or Germany, an industrialized nation. He said it would fail in places like China and Russia, right? Mm-hmm. Ultimately you could argue that he was right. But in the 70s there was this sort of back to the land hippiedom combined with communism, right? And again, it's that thing that, you know, I mentioned before about the sort of bringing together of different traditions, right? The science, the Eastern mysticism. But while here it's a kind of rural peasant society fused with sort of communist ideas.
Well, wasn't this the time when the commune idea became, not communism, but the commune idea became very popular?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
This guy has to be nominated for one of our characters of the year.
I definitely agree.
He is a dimwit.
He goes by the nom de plume Alarista.
Oh yeah, did you Google that, Steve?
Yeah. Alberto Heredia is his real name. He's a poet. He writes poetry. I've never read any of his poetry, but he writes poetry. He's a communist.
Shocked.
he's Mexican. He was born in Mexico City. So
is he still with us, or has he reached a higher plane at this point?
No, he's still with us.
Okay.
He was born in 47, so he's a baby boomer.
Okay.
He's right in that sweet spot.
Oh, Lordy. So, yeah, what else do we, did we miss anything in this episode? Because I was kind of bored at times.
Until Carlos showed up, just because I just felt like it was filler, like they were just using stock footage of the episode they'd done. But the last 10 minutes to all the listeners is gold. It's just gold.
Oh, yeah, to find out that they use psychic energy.
Because they mentioned the wheel again, too.
Oh, yes, yes.
But they had the concept of the wheel, because we have sort of toys or whatever it was that had wheels on them, but they didn't actually use the wheel for anything useful.
No.
On the road.
For toys. To entertain kids. Come on. Keeps them out of your hair. If you have hair. Sorry, Oliver.
Yeah, that was a shot, man. That was a shot.
Let's see. Anything else?
I would just like to say that, just to go on the record as saying what Al Arista said that Jesus Christ's actual last words were when he spoke Mayan from the cross.
Oh, please.
It was not, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me?" as we have been led to believe by the Bible for so many years. But it's, "At last I sink in the dawn of your presence."
Yeah, okay, whatever.
He never explains what that means, but that's what it is.
But that's what he meant. You know why? Because that sounds so much better to hippy dippy types.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so deep, man.
And that it means absolutely nothing.
No.
Another reason why I loathe hippies.
have we reached the end?
Yes, but we got to recommend the last 10 minutes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I'll go back and listen to last week's episode, too, and watch the episode we discussed last week, because that is pure gold.
Oh, yeah. That is. It absolutely
is. So hilarious. You will have fun laughing at it. Anyway, Mr. Oliver Oxide, tell people where they can find you.
Well, if you speak Mayan, you can find me at Oliver Oxide on Twitter. Also, please join me for my two podcasts, one reviewing 20 years of the Law & Order franchise. Also, join me for my new podcast. Jason was kind enough to guest in the last episode, and or in episode two.
Episode
two. And it's called "You're Just the Worst, the 100 Most Awful Pop Songs of All Time." And you can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Excellent. Steve, where can people find you?
If they want to talk to me about hippie communism, they can get me on Twitter at Doc Pinko, DocPinko, or you can catch me on my new project, which may or may not be up by the time this broadcast, called The Culture of the Second World War.
Excellent. You can find me at AlienCG on Twitter. You can find this podcast at Illuminati Pod. You can find it at IlluminatiSocialClub.com. And if you have emails for us, you could send those to IlluminatiPod@gmail.com. And yeah, we'll forward those on. We can't really read any of your comments. We can't really read them on the next show because, that next show has already been recorded long ago. So we save them all up. We save up all the comments, all the questions, everything, for a wrap-up episode at the end of the season. So, there you go. Now you know. So, anyway, folks, the world did in fact end on December 24th, 2011. Or was it December 21st, 2012? I can never remember. Have a good week, everyone.
Toodles, kids.
See ya.